Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What were you just saying about the Legion of Boom Seahawks?
I said that they're probably one of my, like, because I was thinking about this, you know, too, and they're probably one of the best for my money in my lifetime. That's probably what I, because I asked Ben, I was curious, because, you know, just want to know. But yeah, Legion of Boom's up there with for me.
Dominant team.
Yeah.
Dominant team. And by the way, a dominant Super Bowl win.
Oh my God. That was the first time we hosted a Super Bowl at my house. And yeah, the game was over by halftime. We were all just like, game's on.
Yeah. It was like a safety on the first drop back of Peyton Manning. Yeah. The Legion of Boom Seahawks were awesome. And that was a better team than the 2024 Eagles. Put them in that. So I said, I think the Eagles are somewhere, you know, out of 59 Super Bowl winning teams, they're probably in the 20s somewhere.
Sure.
They're not top five. All due respect to Saquon Barkley. All right, we got Ben Standig with us. Ben jumped on with us yesterday to talk Terry McLaurin, updating the poll. It hasn't changed much. Concern level about Terry's frustration over a contract extension, 73.7% of you are in right mind. No worries, it'll get done. That, to me, is a really sound, reasonable answer. Kind of concerned, 20.1%. Very concerned, 6.1%. Ben, I think you are in the no worries, it'll get done category, correct?
Yeah, correct. If for no other reason, we just went through this with the same player 3 years ago. Different regime, but, you know, same player. And after missing some of the voluntary work and the mandatory minicamp, he signed a deal the next month. And I don't have any real reason to deviate from thinking that that's how it's going to play out to some degree this time.
Have you thought about what that deal will look like? Have you done any work on that? We were talking about that with callers.
I haven't nerded out to the point of the very specifics, but just in terms of the average annual salary, I mean, $30 million's been where I've been projecting, a little more than what T. Higgins got, a little bit less than DK Metcalf. Maybe it's closer to Metcalf. And the only reason I'm saying a little bit less there is just that DK is a little bit younger. I mean, nothing crazy, but just a little bit. So, so something like that. I kind of feel like everybody above Metcalf is sort of at another tier to some degree. We can argue whether Terry McLaurin or CeeDee Lamb is the better receiver right now, but Lamb's 5 years younger or something like that. So there's that. So annual average, around 30 would be my best guess. And, probably for 3 years, something like that.
Talking to, of course, Ben Standig from The Athletic, at Ben Standig on X on Twitter. And Ben's got a podcast called Last man standing. Yeah, I think we, you know, look, it's a story because it's June 6th and there's no draft and there's no free agency and there are no games. But I personally think we can move on from this unless we get some real report that says Terry wants to be traded. If we get that report, we can circle back to it. So two players that I wanted to talk about because we heard a lot from Joe Witt Jr. in particular about these two players. What do you think they were saying, Joe Witt, and even Dan Quinn? What were they trying to tell us about Daron Payne?
Well, I think they're trying to encourage him with what they've been seeing so far. And that's a guy who Daron said he was challenged at the end of the year by a defensive line coach, Daryl Taft, to be not just a leader by example, but a vocal leader as well. That's come across, again, relatively speaking, Daron Payne is a man of few words, so it's not like he's giving speeches, but just, you know, helping to point things out. But that also coincides with being a little more aggressive, or maybe a lot more aggressive, when it comes to what he's been showing in practice, to the point that they've had to tell him, like, calm down a bit, save it for Sunday kind of deal, or, you know, training camp. But they're definitely all the way they're talking about him. You know, it's not like Daron Payne's been bad the last couple of years. He just has not lived up to that contract. And I think, you know, we've talked about this, you know, based on where this defense looks right now and what they have up front, barring, you know, some sort of major move, like, you know, the guy who has the chance to be a Pro Bowl player at that spot is Daron Payne. And we've seen it before. And, you know, it's not what they say. Sometimes it's what they don't say. And, you know, you could tell last year, it's not that they rarely came out and ever said, boy, Daron Payne really was crushing it in this game. You know, they would bring up some other random players, but never him. And then the fact that I asked you with this open-ended question, who's somebody that's been standing out, and he goes to Daron Payne, I buy it, but also, you know, I think it's a sign that, you know, hey, look, we want to, you know, stoke this fire, because, you know, last year he was good, but, you know, again, they need more, especially the way this team is configured. So sounds like he's off to a pretty good start with his play, his effort, his attitude, and they definitely want to hope that this continues.
Yeah, you know, part of me was thinking in listening to them talk about Daron Payne that, you know, there are a range of possibilities here. One, they really are blown away, impressed. Two, after being with all of these players for a year now, they've learned more about how to manage them, how to motivate them, and maybe being public about how good he looks and his potential and the whole thing. I remember when Jack Del Rio got here with Ron Rivera, it was very early in that first off season, and Del Rio said, 94, that's the most impressive player out there. And look, we've seen him at his best. At his best, it is really good. I mean, it is dominant. We just don't get that, you know, consistently, and we understand that to be the issue. But I was thinking, I wonder whether or not this is more of, we figured kind of how to deal with Daron and to get him motivated and to manage him, or they legitimately were blown away. What about Quan Martin? I thought there were interesting things said by Joe Witt Jr. about Quan Martin.
Yeah, you know, we already had heard about that he essentially played a chunk of last year with injuries to both shoulders, leading to needing surgery on both, which is, you know, something we didn't know about. You know, we can discuss whether that should have been on the injury report or not. But in terms of, you know, so, okay, I thought Quan Martin had a pretty good year. You know, he is the rare pick from the Rivera era that has not only stuck around but made some kind of an impact. But then Joe Witt revealed that last year during the off-season program that he actually benched Quan Martin, put him on the second team, and he said specifically because he was making too many mistakes that we just can't afford, you know, when the games turn real. And then the next three practices with the second unit, he was, for Joe Witt's perspective, you know, kind of on fire and really crushing it in practice. And then that just continued to the point that now going into this year, Joe Witt saying he thinks Quan Martin can be one of the top safeties in the league. You know, it feels like Quan Martin's been around forever. He is only going into his third year. And yeah, and you know, look, I mean, it's you know, the secondary has some nice pieces, obviously. And you know, we know Marshon Lattimore in his past has been a Pro Bowl player, but right now, it's, you know, if you said who's going to be the next defensive back to get to sort of that level, you know, I mean, Quan Martin or Sanders still might be the two guesses, and you know, or maybe Trey Amos if, once we see him out there. But yeah, Quan Martin, you know, if that's an honest assessment of his ability, you know, that would obviously be huge, and you know, it will be fun to see a guy who apparently is going to be able to play going into this year, you know, feeling a lot better, both in terms of the understanding the system, what the coaches want, and also physically.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting to read about how, you know, he had been benched. I don't specifically remember that. That was surprising to me. Maybe it wasn't to you. I thought what he said about Kane Medrano, the sixth-round pick out of UCLA, was interesting, too, because when he got drafted and I ended up watching those highlights, I'm like, he looks more like a safety than a linebacker, and that's what they're trying to figure out, right?
Yeah, you know, to tying this in with the Quan Martin part, you know, they move guys around so often, and we see different combinations. You know, it takes a while before you realize kind of like who's with what group. So, you know, a starter working with the backups or somewhere at a different position isn't always out of whack. And that's sort of the same thing here in terms of like the position. Yeah, what is he? You know, if you read his profiles, you know, he's got to work on his tackling. Get more consistent there, but the speed element is impressive. And you know, this is a guy that played receiver, switched over. You know, he's got, you know, he was, you know, again, the fastest linebacker running the 40 at the combine. So there's a lot to like there about his athletic traits and his instincts. But yet now it's just a matter of how do we maximize this player? You know, I think he's going to be one of those guys where, you know, ultimately 2026, it'll be more of an interesting moment in time for him. You know, if Jordan McGee is the third linebacker after his injury plagued rookie season, you know, there won't be really much time there. On the safety sort of hybrid front, you know, maybe, but you still have, you know, Quan Martin, Will Harris, Percy Butler, Joe Witt became like the 18th different coach to say he's got to get Jeremy Reeves on the field more defensively.
Right.
And there's also like Dominic Hampton, who is kind of a similar type profile as Medrano, who was on the team last year and didn't really play. So, you know, I think he's really interesting and all that. But, you know, 2026 is probably where he's going to have a potential bigger impact or where we'll get a better feel for where he's at.
You mentioned Jordan McGee. We know that they really liked him, and they thought, you know, we all thought he would be on the field last year, but he got injured. What did Joe Witt Jr. say this week about Jordan McGee's role next year?
Yeah, obviously, I think they're all bummed about, you know, just the injury starting in the summer, and it just, you know, kind of just derailed the plan there. It kind of reminds me to a certain degree of Cole Turner in his rookie year. Like, he really was impressive during the summer, but then got hurt, and then it just never kind of took off. Of course, in Cole Turner's case, it's never really, unfortunately, taken off after what was a promising start. In this case, you know, I think that's still a lot of optimism around Jordan McGee's ability. Witt said that, you know, they had legit, like, packages in the plan for McGee last year to get him on the field, but, you know, again, ultimately, the injury just kind of, you know, sidelined him or saddled him all year. There's an opening, of course, you know, once you get past Luvu and Bobby Wagner for to be that sort of third linebacker. You know, Michael Walker last year took on some of that responsibility, and he left in free agency. And, you know, I don't imagine they're going to do anything with Frankie Luvu that'll be different than we saw. But as we've all discussed, you know, it's not like the defensive end room at the moment stands out. So, you know, maybe Luvu ends up playing even a little bit more on the line, and that could open up a way to get McGee on the field. And then I think the ultimate question is, like, you know, with Bobby Wagner, obviously, you know, incredible instincts, leadership, all those good things, but, you know, the speed declines over time for players, and you could see a little bit of that last year. Does that lead to them saying, you know, finding ways to get McGee on the field, or maybe to get Wagner off the field on third downs more than we saw last year. I think that could be an interesting scenario. But yeah, I think Jordan McGee, you know, it's so funny, you know, McGee and Sinnott and McCaffrey and Johnny Newton, like we have, you know, it's almost like all these guys are quasi, you know, quasi rookies to a degree. Like, you know, they played to an extent in some cases, had some good moments, but by and large, there's still a lot more questions. Not like questions, can they play, but like questions like how do they, you know, what's their role going to be this year? And I think even though this is a small draft class, the current one, it feels like it's larger because those guys are, you know, there's still a lot of questions about how they ultimately fit in.
You got a chance to talk to some of the assistant coaches yesterday. Anything stand out?
Yeah, they make the assistants available like once or twice a year. And, you know, you just got to just make a run at whoever you want to talk to. I talked to mostly some of the offensive coaches. I did talk to Anthony Lynn, running back coach, former NFL head coach for a little bit. And, you know, we talked about his room. He said he thinks Brian Robinson is arriving in pretty good mental shape. And, you know, he talked a lot about, you know, just, you know, he thinks Brian Robinson's position for a good year. You know, I did bring up, hey, you know, the production kind of faded down the stretch, and he didn't put the onus on Robinson per se. You know, there were, you know, the offensive line, you know, could be a little bit better. And obviously they did make some of those moves, and not having Austin Eckler, I think probably hurt overall. But, you know, he said, and we've heard this before from other coaches, that Robinson can be an effective pass catcher. Kind of just, you know, we got to figure out ways to get him more involved there. And, you know, again, I'm not saying it's false, but, you know, it's similar to like a coach saying, we got to get Jeremy Rees on the field, you know, kind of wake me up when it happens a little bit, you know. But the other part I thought that was interesting is, you know, they bring back the three guys from last year, plus Chris Rodriguez, if you want to count him as the fourth, and then they draft Ja'Cory, Kroski, Merritt, or Bill. And and Lynn said that he basically just puts the running backs into two different categories, running back A, running back B. Running back B is more of that change of pace, pass catcher type, and running back A is, you know, more of your traditional lead back. And even though Kroski, Merritt, like from a one-cut burst kind of way, looks like that B category, Lynn said he was bigger than he thought, and he puts him into that A category with Brian Robinson. And it's not the same thing as saying there is a competition for that, but it is to say that's how they're viewing him. And I have been, you know, wondering, are they going to make any type of movement there? Do they want to have, you know, running backs on the field who will present more of a dual threat option than the way Robinson has the last couple of years? So I just thought it was good clarification that they're not, that they're viewing Bill Kroski Merritt as a, you know, more of that lead backy type. Again, that doesn't mean he's going to play, he's going to get 20 carries. I just mean, you know, stylistically. And that's interesting. He also said that he thought Michael Wiley, who was an undrafted free agent last year, that, you know, had some interesting fun moments over the course of the summer, then was on practice squad. He said he thought he may be having as good of a camp as anybody. You know, again, we've heard these things before. He said Kazmir Allen looks much more like a running back now, having converted. Again, we've heard about his potential for the last few years.
Kaz Allen?
Yeah.
As a back.
Still on the team.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Yeah, they've shifted him last year into sort of that role, but, you know, again, it just, there's always something. Depth chart, injury, you know, it just hasn't happened. So, you know, Again, for me, it's going to be a wait. You know, I've done that game too many times. We'll see where he's at. He's obviously got impressive speed, and that's why all these coaches are fascinated. But, you know, we'll see. So, you know, whether it's the running back room, the tight end room, or others, everybody is talking about the crazy depth they have there, and it's going to be real competitions. And that's exactly what you'd expect from these coaches. So we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, look, I thought Wiley was interesting last year to the point that, you know, I think I was even making some of the argument that he could be the third back because they need some more of that explosive opportunity. They went with McNichols, obviously, as a more veteran, solid piece, and he's really good. But, you know, if they're still searching for that, you know, more big play potential out of the backfield, then, you know, Krosky Merritt is intriguing that way. And I guess, hypothetically, if Wiley or Kaz Allen has made a big move, we'll see. But, I think that's, you know, everybody's optimistic right now, Kevin. I don't know if you've figured that might be the case.
Yeah, I'm unfamiliar with this time of year, so I didn't know how it went. Although everybody's optimistic to a point. There were many years where we weren't optimistic, but we were trying to force ourselves into some delusional space. All right, we are talking, of course, to Ben Standig. I switch subjects to something I haven't talked about today, and I'll do it with you. Aaron Rodgers, not a surprise, signs with the Pittsburgh Steelers. How do you think this will work out?
Well, probably not to the degree that, you know, Steelers Nation is hoping. Like, I don't think, you know, I think because of all the negative angles going on with the Jets last year, you know, Aaron Rodgers' performance is probably a little bit overlooked. He actually, you know, wasn't that bad. He's not the MVP level guy anymore. I know I've heard you talk about that. He looks like a guy doesn't want to get hit anymore. So, you know, that can affect what he's doing, but it's an upgrade over what they had and all that. I just, to me, the most fascinating thing I find is, I know you can tell me all you want about Mike Tomlin and the, you know, he hasn't had a losing record in his career. The team hasn't had one losing season. And, you know, every year they're right in the mix to make the playoffs. They've made it last year and so on. But the fact that 2 years in a row now they've had to sort of be, you know, get desperate and take Russell Wilson, and now wait this out for Aaron Rodgers, it really just goes to show that that organization feels like it's in kind of a messy spot. Like, they need to figure something out, because at best, Rodgers is, what, a one-year fix? So that's the reason what's interesting. Why are they continually finding themselves in this position? They either have to get better, or they maybe have to decide, hey, we're going to, you know, kind of not purposely, but, you know, quasi-tank a little bit to get ourselves in a position to get a quarterback. But, you know, look, they got DK Metcalf. That's going to help. They made some good moves on the offensive line over the last couple of years. You know, they bolstered the defensive line with their first round pick, Derek Harmon. So, you know, the Steelers are always solid, and if Rodgers can be good, then, you know, we'll see. They're obviously in a tough division, but I don't know. It's just hard for me to envision a world where Pittsburgh becomes a real top notch contender with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I think a little bit differently about this. I watched a lot of those games. I guess more times than not, I had action on them. I just didn't think Aaron Rodgers was anywhere near even the top five reasons the Jets ended up having the season they had. Greg Zuerlein, literally, this is not an exaggeration, cost them three games with missed field goals and missed PATs in games that they should have won. That would have gotten them to eight wins had they had a kicker last year. Their defense was dreadful last year. They had a totally dysfunctional coaching situation, and they tried to play Teron Smith at left tackle, and that was a disaster before they changed that out. I actually, and I said this throughout the year last year, and people thought I was nuts. I thought when he threw the football, he looked like Aaron Rodgers. And yes, there were, you know, he was not, especially coming off the Achilles, you could tell that there was a little bit of hesitancy to get hit or to take off and run. But in terms of slinging it, especially when you got late in the season, and, you know, some of the opponents they played weren't great. Like, he had a pretty good game, I remember, against Jacksonville late in the season, against the Dolphins, like, you know, in a meaningless game at the end where he threw four touchdown passes. But there was a game at Miami in late November, early December, where he threw for like 350 and was unbelievable in an overtime loss. I think this could work. He's in a better organization, much better organization. They've got a much better defense, at least on paper. We know how defense goes. He's got a big target in Metcalf. He's got a big target in Freiermuth. They drafted Caleb Johnson out of Iowa. I think that's going to be a big key. You know, Jaylen Warren and Caleb Johnson, can they run the football? I think that it's not going to surprise me if he is, you know, in that 12 to 16 range of starting quarterbacks next year. And if that's the case, that's the best position Pittsburgh's been in at quarterback since Roethlisberger was healthy and upright. And I think it could be the difference between just a 9-8 and 10-7 and out in one round team versus a team that maybe wins 11 and wins a playoff game. He's not, you know, an elite quarterback, but God, man, Zuerlein cost him the early portion of the season. They had a chance to start something like 4-1, you know, 5-3, and he literally missed three kicks that cost him games. And their defense was terrible. I'm really fascinated to watch this, in part, Ben, because I was on the Aaron Rodgers is not the problem bandwagon. Now, he's 41, and maybe he falls off the cliff literally this year and can't do anything right. But I think it's an interesting story. You know, I heard a bunch of people talking on the Greenberg show, Get Up. Ryan Clark in particular, who, oof, tough watch these days, tough follow on social media in particular. How about that thing with Archie 3 last week or 2 weeks ago? Oh, my God, both of them. But, you know, they're like, well, it didn't work out in New York. Did they forget that he tore his Achilles on the fourth snap of the first season that he was there? Like, yeah, the first year didn't work out. You know why? Because he didn't play. He got injured. Yeah, you're taking a risk with a 39-year-old quarterback that he's going to get hurt. I understand that. But it wasn't because he was terrible. It was because he wasn't on the field. And then last year, there's no doubt, early in the season, you know, it wasn't the Aaron Rodgers, but there were games in which it looked pretty close to the Aaron Rodgers, especially when Devontae Adams showed up. But I don't know. We'll see. I think it's another interesting story. 41 years old is not something we typically see in the NFL. You know, teams contending. We saw it with Brady, and that's it.
Obviously it's an intriguing story from a certain, like, you know, obviously he's one of the greats of all time. I've always said I think Rodgers is the best quarterback at their peak, especially throwing the ball, of anybody I've ever seen. Maybe not for the career, but peak, incredible. But it's not just to me that he's 41 and all that. The drama follows him around. I mean, what's interesting here is, you know, the Jets were already a mess, and then his part of it just helped fuel the dysfunction. The Steelers are the least dysfunctional organization typically in the league, and Mike Tomlin, this is why it's been so impressive that he doesn't have any losing records, because even when they're, you know, have, you know, seemingly down years with talent, he finds ways to get them to be highly competitive. So how does this Aaron Rodgers drama mesh with the Mike Tomlin discipline? That is the most interesting aspect of this. If that works out, if Aaron Rodgers, you know, buys in, so to speak, then I think the ceiling is a lot higher. But, you know, is this the point where Mike Tomlin, you know, I don't say meets his match, but, like, you know, everybody eventually bends to Aaron Rodgers. The fact that Aaron Rodgers is coming in for mandatory minicamp, we'll see what he actually does. But, you know, the fact he's coming in to get around the team, okay, you wish he'd done it 3 months ago, but okay, he's doing it now before training camp. That's at least something. At least to me, says some kind of nod. You know, because last year he skipped mandatory minicamp, even though he'd already been with the Jets a little bit, to go traveling. And I was like, really? Okay. And I remember pointing out, all the Jets fans are getting into the, oh, calm down. Okay. So, yeah. So I think to me that's what's most interesting. The Tomlin discipline combining with the Rodgers drama, you know, kind of who wins there. And that's going to go a long way towards, I think, Pittsburgh, you know, winning or losing even more than just the fact that he's, you know, an older quarterback. Like you said, he can play. It's just there's always a lot else going on with that.
All right. I know you watched last night. I spent the first hour and we took calls on OKC Indiana game one. What did you think?
Well, I mean, obviously an amazing game, particularly the second half was like good. Indiana was obviously way off in the first half with all the turnovers, but they kept coming back, you know, in the second half, and then OKC would make a shot or two, and then you thought, okay, maybe this is, you know, maybe they're not going to be able to come back. And then they just keep picking away, and they get it done despite having, you know, losing the turnover margin by 18, despite not having, you know, so many fewer possessions because of the turnovers. Nobody had like a really strong game. They just had a lot of guys who played well. Then of course Halliburton, you know, oh my God. I mean, you know, we're going to have to stop using Sam Cassell as the example of a guy with a little bit extra down there. Halliburton, it's just unbelievable. I mean, I think we saw the stat. I think it was on with your guy, Scott last night, but it was like, you know, in the league over the last, I don't know how many years, like, you know, 30 years, whatever it is, the most like game winning shots in the final 5 seconds. Like LeBron has the most, but he's played an insane amount of games. And then I think it's Reggie Miller who's played a ton of games. And then Miller is tied with now Halliburton, who's played like 35 playoff games. And most of them have come this year. It's just remarkable. I just think for the series, look, OKC, I get it. You know, incredible team, incredible season they've had. They have an awesome depth. Their defense is off the charts. They have the MVP. But when I kept looking at Indiana, I'm just like, boy, Indiana's probably the first team they've played in the playoffs that has real depth. Indiana will be the team that is not going to be afraid to run. They may even push the pace even more. You know, defensively, sure. It's hard to know if anybody in league history has been as good as the perimeter guys that OKC has. But it's not like Indiana's guys are poor there. I mean, Nembhard was good against Brunson, and, you know, he had some really good moments last night. SGA had to take a lot of shots to get his points, and nobody else really stepped up. So I picked Indiana in six. I just thought people were sleeping on them, and it was more like a smell test kind of thing for me.
Yeah, I know. You told me that the other day when we talked. Yeah. I disagreed. I was looking for every part of my, you know, contrarian being to step to the table, to the window on Indiana, but I just didn't see it. I picked OKC in five. I bet them last night laying nine. And I still think they'll win the series, but to your point, Indiana always had a much better chance than the Knicks against OKC. And I said, Ben, about this game last night. It was one of the strangest games, also one of the more thrilling games of the postseason. But, like, there was never a moment in this game until the final minute where I thought that Oklahoma City would lose. In fact, there wasn't really a moment until the final 4 or 5 minutes that I thought they wouldn't cover. I thought it was the most dominating defensive play in a half of an NBA playoff game that I've seen in, I can't remember, something that matched not just 19 turnovers, 11 of those turnovers were steals. It wasn't that Indiana was careless with the basketball. They were having the ball taken from them. In a way in which it doesn't even account for how many times deflections, you know, drove the shot clock down to, you know, 1 or 2 seconds, and they were forced to take a hurried, rough shot. And I still can't believe that OKC lost that game. And I've watched, like you have, throughout. I know what Indiana's done. I know what Halliburton's done. I just didn't think they could do it against that team last night.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Yeah, and I would say that, you know, we don't often talk about coaching the way we do in, say, the NFL.
Right.
And Rick Carlisle is clearly one of the better coaches of, you know, this century, you know, debate all time. But, you know, he's always been a great coach. He gets, you know, more out of his players. And he's one of those coaches in the sort of the Joe Gibbs mold. He doesn't have a, we must do this. He looks at the roster, figures out what he has,
right,
and goes from there. And that's why they've been so up-tempo. On the flip side, Mark Dagno, right? He was coach of the year this year. Oh no, yeah. Atkinson was.
Atkinson was, Cleveland was right. Sorry,
right. Yeah. But he was obviously way up there, you know, because of the great season. I was not that impressed by him tactically in the Denver series. I mean, Denver has Jokic, but that series should not have been this close, considering Denver had no minimal depth to begin with. Then, you know, they got injuries, and yet it went seven games. And look, there may be logical reasons, but not playing Chet Holmgren only 23 minutes and playing their centers a combined 40 minutes when that was viewed as, hey, get Miles Turner in foul trouble, and then what does Indiana do? They didn't go down that route. Was
when Indiana went small, it was tough, but I didn't think about this until after the game, but starting Cason Wallace instead of Hartenstein was like an admission up front, this is a different team than we're dealing with. And I think Minnesota was a good team. In Denver, you say shouldn't have gone to seven. Look, Denver should have never lost game four at home. They should have had a 3-1 series lead. And certainly Denver had a chance to win game five on the road. I it's tough against Indiana when they have Siakam at the five to have both big guys on the floor.
I mean, the Siakam piece to me is why, is another reason why I think Indiana was being overlooked. Like he's really good. He can play big. He can run the court. He's skilled. He scored 30 or more points three times in the last series. And OKC don't exactly have a guy to fit that. But by the way, even the Cason Wallace piece, a friend of mine brought this up. When's the time that a team that was a heavy favorite made a starting lineup change for no obvious reason before game one?
That's what I'm saying. I didn't think about it as much in the beginning, and it wasn't a big deal really on the broadcast. And I thought, man, after they lost the game, they've switched lineups during the postseason at times. I think once or twice they've done it. But it's like, wait a minute. Why are you the heavy favorite concerned about your starting lineup that has basically destroyed everybody with the exception of Denver?
Yeah, no, for sure. And it's one thing to, make adjustments. That's the fun part out of a seven game series. The game to game adjustments, but they usually start game two or the underdog is the one that does something. Not that Indiana would view itself as an underdog, but why would OKC at home, why would you switch anything up? Just play it out, do what you do, and then go from there. And, again, they didn't play any of the bigs late. And at least in the case of Chet Holmgren, a seven-footer having to switch out against smaller players is not going to be easy, but he's shown plenty of ability to be mobile. He's been a great rim protector. Can shoot shoot from the perimeter. It's not like he's like some Rory Hibbert, stiff.
He's got to score more than 6 points and play more than 24 minutes. I got to roll. I do want to leave you with this though, because I agree with you on Rick Carlisle, and I was just curious as to what his overall record was. Like, we all consider Rick Carlisle to be a great coach. His overall record as a head coach is 993-860 in the regular season. That's a barely better than 500 overall record. And his postseason record, 71-79, sub 500. The NBA's crazy. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Always, man. See ya.
Ben Standing, everybody. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com. If you've got older windows, consider buying new windows. You're losing money on your heating and air conditioning bills, that is, he said, with windows that aren't well insulated. New windows, especially if your windows are, say, 10 years of age or older, are going to save you big money. And Window Nation's right now offering big time savings opportunities beyond your utilities with their semi-annual sale. What is that? Four free windows with every four purchased. You get a free entry door when you purchase a house full of windows with no money down, no monthly payments, and no interest charged for two full years. So in addition to saving big on utility bills with a hot summer headed our way and a cold winter, they're saying, for 2025. They don't really know at this point, but they are saying that. You're going to save big on your heating bills when we get to wintertime. And all the while, you're not paying anything until the year 2027. Add to that, their windows come with a lifetime warranty, so you've got no risk. You'll save big time into the future. It takes a call or a trip to windownation.com. Call them at 866-90-NATION. Mention my name. They'll come out. They'll give you a free in-home estimate. They're not going to pressure you. You won't be obligated to do anything. You can shop the deal if you want. You'll actually find out with the estimate which of your windows really need to be replaced. Most people don't know that. Mention my name. I promise you they'll schedule a convenient in-home estimate. They'll be in and out of your home in an hour or less. And when they come to install your windows, it'll happen in a day or less, and your home will be cleaner than when they got there. Four free windows with every four purchased, a free entry door with a house full of windows purchased with no payments at all until the year 2027. 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. So the Nats got beat by Chicago last night, 7-1. Texas is in town, and guess who's pitching tonight against the Washington Nationals? Our old friend, Patrick Corbin, who's been pitching well for the Rangers. His ERA right now at 3.71 is easily the best at it has been since the World Series year of 2019. He currently has had a solid outing in all six of his starts. In all but really one of his 10 starts, in his last six this month, or in May, he basically took his team into the sixth, seventh, or eighth innings in every single game with a chance to win by giving up no more than three earned runs. He's been outstanding for Texas. I don't think anybody saw that coming at 35 years old with the way he had pitched here, but he is in town tonight as the starter in Washington against his old team, the Nats. Soroka on the bump for the Nats, who have played well recently, but did not generate any offense. Really, it's been now, you know, about four games where their offense and their bats have gone silent to a certain degree after that stretch against the Mariners and the Diamondbacks, where they were absolutely crushing the ball. Not enough last night, and barely enough in the Mackenzie Gore outing in the penultimate game against the Cubs. But yeah, last night, just eight total hits. James Wood, 0-4. Wood now, in his last four games, is just 1-12. So he is in a bit of a slump right now. All right, we'll finish up with some football when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
All right, the Dallas Stars are parting way with head coach Peter DeBoer following his comments after the Western Conference Final, where he threw $66 million goaltender Jake Ottinger under the bus for their series loss to Edmonton. The Aaron Rodgers story finally gets some resolvement. He signs a one-year deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers right before minicamp, and Tyrese Halliburton hits the game winner to lift the Pacers over the Thunder 111-110. The Pacers didn't take the lead until 0.3 seconds ago in the fourth quarter, and that's all she wrote. Pacers take a one-game lead. The Stanley Cup Final continues tonight. The Florida Panthers look to even the series against Edmonton in Edmonton against the Oilers. Puck drop slated for 8 p.m. on TNT. And the Nats, they fall 7-1 to the Chicago Cubs. Jake Irvin gives up 8 hits, 3 earned runs, and 5 innings pitched. The Nats will take on the Rangers tonight at 6:45. As you just heard, former Nats starting pitcher Patrick Corbin will be on the bump for the Rangers, and Michael Soroka will take the hill for the Nats. Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 6:15 on 106.7 The Fan. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.
Comes down to one last play. And it's going to be getting longer by the second. You're all the way back at the 30-yard line. Now you can step into it. Here comes the Hail Mary with the game on the line. And the ball is caught! Carson Landover, Maryland.
He did it.
Oh, this one will be paid.
You know,
back
Noah Brown's Hail Mary catch to beat the Bears was certainly one of the highlights of the season, no doubt. And then, you know, when we got to early December and they crushed Tennessee, he had a serious internal kidney injury that was actually acutely dangerous for a period of time. He is fully recovered, thank God. He is back with this football team. And apparently, according to a few people that I've talked to, they've got high hopes for Noah Brown in 2024. You know, they did draft a wide receiver in Jalen Lane in the fourth round. They had him as their number one punt returner on their board. And Jalen Lane could end up working his way into a lot of the offense as well, in addition to being a returner. They went out and signed Deebo Samuel. That's a weapon, not necessarily the spot Noah Brown will play. But Deami Brown is gone. Zacchaeus, gone. Jamison Crowder, gone. Right now, Terry McLaurin's going to line up with probably Deebo Samuel, and then who else? I'm going to tell you it's going to be Noah Brown on opening day against the Giants, because Jaden loved Noah Brown. You know, before he got hurt, Noah Brown had 35 catches for 453 yards and had some big-time looks on third down. Remember, there was a period of time where, like, why isn't he throwing to Terry as much as he's throwing to number 85? And I think the size, the comfort level with his route running, and Noah Brown, remember, drew a lot of PIs last year. He was near the top of the league when he got hurt in drawing defensive pass interference penalties. But this is a guy that they clearly feel comfortable with, Kingsbury feels comfortable with, and Jaden Daniels feels comfortable with. And you're just so happy that, you know, it all worked out, because it was a scary, serious injury against the Tennessee Titans, and they were without him the rest of the year. But he is back, healthy, and apparently looking big-time sharp. What does it mean this time of year? Not much, but the fact that he's a returning player who performed and produced with a young quarterback who really became sort of attached to him, and in the same way that he became attached to Ertz and Terry, obviously. Noah Brown, I think sometimes when we think about this team next year, it's like, okay, Terry, Deebo, and then? Well, the then is going to be Noah Brown, I think, by the time we get to the opener. But I think there are high hopes for McCaffrey in year two, high hopes for Jalen Lane down the road beyond just a returner. And remember, they still have two veteran guys in Gallup and KJ Osborne on the team. But Noah Brown, don't forget about him, not that you have. The word is they're really confident that he once again is going to be a big part of what they're doing offensively and a big target for Jaden Daniels. Remember, they didn't trade for him. He got cut by Houston, you know, right before the season, the final cut down date, and they went and signed him. It was like late August. You know, it was probably like August 31st, somewhere around there, where they picked up Noah Brown off waivers, and he ended up having a highly productive season. I was actually surprised. I remember I was surprised that he had been released. They did draft a receiver, and they signed a receiver. You know, that was what we thought might happen. But they certainly didn't draft an edge pass rusher, did they? Oh, that was a month and a half ago. Unbelievable NBA game one. I can't wait for game two Sunday night in Oklahoma City. NHL Stanley Cup continues tonight with Edmonton having a 1-0 lead. That game is also in Edmonton. And the Aaron Rodgers saga is over. I think the Terry McLaurin saga will certainly end long before the regular season does. All right. Thanks to Ben. Thanks to all of you who called on the show today. Thanks to Max. Enjoy the weekend. Back on Monday.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.